From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad on a glorious sunny day. And I am so proud to report, stop moving your microphone, somebody, that there are snow-covered mountains for me to look at as I drive into the office this morning. Isn't that wonderful? It's marvellous. It's glorious. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the fabulous Tatry Mountains, snow-covered caps again, or as Lee Banks, who I'll introduce you to in a moment, calls them the teeth of Slovakia. Poprad's a little town in the east of Slovakia. We should have some fabulous news for you next week, but I can't tell you this week. There you go. Currently in India, of all places, it's Lee Banks. I'm not going to do any. I'm not going to do any George Harrison jokes.
Namaste.
Pardon?
What?
Namaste.
Beep beep.
Case Han.
Beep beep.
Yeah.
Case Han. That you told me to learn to speak Indian while I haven't. Now all you're doing is being silly.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying a rude English word, so I was beeping you out.
Yes, exactly.
No, it's hello in Indian. It's namaste.
All right. Okay, in which case, do breed in Pan Banks.
Case can. Main hiku. Main shata hun.
Yeah, right. Jesus Christ. In Gay Paris, we've got the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group trying to keep us all in order this week, Mark Gander.
Jawohl, guten Tag, mein Damen. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I thought they were still here.
Gosh,
Hello, everybody. Yes, welcome from Paris, and it's pretty nippy, but I have to say it's beautiful weather. It's great.
Oh, have you got your microphone organised, young Mr. Mark?
Well, because I've had a computer breakdown, and I'm using a little laptop with a nasty little microphone, and this is probably about as good as I can manage for the moment.
Ooh,
sorry.
Oh dear.
Sounds a bit like Deli Belly to me.
It's Deli Belly of the computer.
This is Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls. A sideways look at the news. We'd like to say hello to our friends in or listening to us in Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, on Audio Boo as well, and you lovely folks from RTI. Got a couple of bits of housekeeping, as they say, to do. We're currently looking at and investigating a timeshare project on behalf of one of our listeners who's incredibly unhappy. The man from timeshare is going, don't care really. So we're investigating deeper at the moment. So be warned, there will be a special next week about timeshares and buying holidays abroad and advice about how not to.
Also, very interesting it is too.
It is very interesting actually as well. Yeah. And I can also share that some of our other colleagues in the broadcast industry are deeply interested, which is nice. We'll also be bringing some absolutely fab news about Poprad next Friday, we hope, which is going to blow everybody's socks off, which is so cool. We want to wish the Poprad KHL team the best of luck as they take on Riga from Latvia very shortly, which is the Continental Hockey League, so good luck to them. And with that, we are off to, Coronation Street. That'll do. Because Coronation Street actors, if you don't know Coronation Street, do have a look on the web. It's one of the longest running soaps around everywhere, and probably one of the biggest syndicated ones alongside EastEnders out of the UK. And Betty Driver, who starred in the soap for more than 40 years, has died at aged 81 years young. Well done to her for a fabulous, and we thank you for all the amazing episodes you've done over the years. Former co-star Julie Goodyear, she used to run the pub in
The Rover's Return.
Thank you, in Coronation Street.
How did I know you'd forgotten it?
Well, you see, I have a problem with it. I don't always have my translator available.
Your translator? What's your translator?
Well, it's the one I use when I'm talking to you as well.
Oh, right. You mean Mancunians. Are you taking the mickey out of Mancunians? Well, this Mancunian can speak Indian now, so just be careful.
All right.
Where is Coronation Street, by the way?
Manchester.
Oh, is it?
Manchester.
I didn't know.
You didn't know?
I know.
You Parisian.
It was somewhere in East London.
Yeah.
She was the queen of hot pot. Betty Driver was the queen of hot pot.
Yeah, and she was being in East London, though.
Well, that's true.
She said she used to be a former singer and a former dancer and everything. She wasn't the world's greatest actress, but she fought her role perfectly, and it's a tragedy that she's gone.
Well, she's done, you know, great 91 years. She played Betty Turpin in the ITV show. In 1969, she joined it. Absolutely fan-dabby-dozy. So I'm sure she's there with a number of other soap opera stars upstairs planning a new one, as they do. God rest you, Betty. Thanks.
Did she do well?
And thank you for your company. Really enjoyed it. Westlife are to split after 14 years. Frankly, my
That's
dear,
right.
I don't give a damn.
I only think it's worth mentioning because they are, like Betty, gone. But the problem is that they're likely to come back and do something else.
Well, I suppose it depends on...
Well, they haven't actually died.
Well, it depends on the bank balance, really, doesn't it?
Right.
I think every time they appeared on stage, they die.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And he said, what are the main songs they ever did?
Is that
Swear
the name
it
of the
again.
Song, isn't it? Every time I...
Yeah.
Huh? What was that?
Every time I appear on stage, wings. I die or something, isn't that?
Flying Without Wings. What was his name? Marty Robbins?
Marty Robbins? He wasn't in Westlife.
Oh, wasn't he? Who was the singer in Westlife then?
I don't think either me, you or Mark know, because I think we were marking the fact that, thank God, Westlife are gone.
Yeah, I suppose if you listen to a middle-of-the-road radio station, if you're old, you'll probably still hear Westlife for decades to come. Thank God they don't put it on Top 40
Marty
station.
Marty Robbins, I don't wear your thing. Marty Robbins used to sing Western songs.
No!
What, Westlife?
But can I, how many were there in Westlife?
I've no idea.
I mean, isn't this like, you know, cutting the head off one of these sort of seven-headed snakes? And the trouble is that they all go off and do their own thing, and then you end up with another sort of seven Westlifes around.
It's like crushing a cockroach, because if you crush one, a million come back.
Well, they are. It might have been better if they stay together. At least you know where they are, and you could avoid them.
I'm just remembering that... now I'm thinking of Wet, Wet, Wet. That's the group I'm thinking of, because they were...
Yeah, they Westlife... Pretty wet yeah. as well, yeah.
We'll get hate mail now. I don't care. Sorry.
We haven't had any off security guards after what you said last week.
I think it's about time I came on here and smashed an Elvis Presley record. That'll get
yeah.
me out.
No, not an Elvis record.
Yes.
Don't smash a record.
Why?
Oh, that's because that's just childish. Elvis was a genius. He was icon. The
I think that was his last words, Eric.
Was it? Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Oh, his last words were, can I have a cheeseburger and some toilet roll?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, dear. That all ate you, isn't
it? The deli.
Deli belly strikes again. So, actually, before we get on to some of the new stuff, where have you been this week, Mr. Banks?
I've actually been to, I've forgotten where I've been. Just give me a sec while I find my list.
Was it in India?
Been to the Taj Mahal. Of course it was in India. It's not a restaurant in Gorton.
Are you telling me...
I've been to the Taj Mahal recently, just a second.
Are you telling me you go to one of the wonders of the world, the Taj Mahal, and you have to write it down on a piece of paper so you don't forget?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Well, it's just that I've been to so many of the wonders of the world in the past few weeks that I have to remember which one I've been to. I have to tell you a true story about the Taj Mahal, though, because I'm not saying that the Indian government are ripping visitors off, but when we got to the Taj Mahal, right, we were met by a guide. It cost us 750 rupees to get in each. Not a great deal of money.
How
it works out about
that?
20
how
quid. About 20 quid.
Mm-hmm.
Between... £10 a piece, 750 rupees. And the guide said, but you will enter, and this is my Indian accent, right, by the way, enter through the VIP entrance. And I looked at the VIP entrance, and I looked at the other entrance. He said, the other entrance is for Indians. And I looked at the price. We were paying 750 rupees to get in. The Indians were paying 20 rupees to get in. I said, I'll tell you what, mate, forget the VIP. Entrance, I'll go in with that lot. And he said, not a chance. So if that wasn't ripping us off, and another way, right, I've got to say, the Taj Mahal, I didn't realise how emotionally involved Andrea was with the Taj Mahal. And she actually sat on the bench where Princess Diana sat and had a photograph taken. And she looks equally as beautiful as Diana. But afterwards, after having travelled through the night to get there, this was the early hours of the morning, being a man, I wished to find somewhere to ablute. So after I'd looked at the marble and stuff like that, I thought, yeah, very nice, this, couldn't build this and all that. I went looking for an ablution. There was a gold sign pointing to the toilets down there. It just went like that, pointing like a finger. And I went down and and it's terrible, man, honestly, because I stood there and I looked and I saw there was a bloke sitting outside the entrance and he had a toilet roll in his hand, right? And you had to give him 10 rupees. And then what he did, this was the thing, it's what he did. He held the toilet roll on his two index fingers like that. So it was like a toilet roll holder. And you had to take a piece of, the piece of toilet paper. You had to roll it out as you would do in an ordinary ablution. And he turned his head so he couldn't see how much you took. Well, I thought, well, I ain't doing that. So I decided then I'd leave the Taj Mahal and go to McDonald's. No toilet. So we found the only 5-star hotel in Agra, which is where the Taj Mahal is, and went in there. It was £1. No, it was equivalent to £12 for two cups of coffee in there, right?
God.
And but the ablutions were perfect, man. It was absolutely beautiful. Pipe music, everything. Then you discovered they wanted 500 rupees for you to... ablute! I've never... The whole country is built around not being able to ablute!
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you enjoyed that lower quality than normal piece of postcard from Poprad.
You should have seen the price of a sausage.
I don't want to know. Have you got anything else that might be internationally interesting?
What about India? Nah, nothing internationally interesting about India.
No, I think what you're saying about India is very, very interesting.
Incredible
there because...
place. Go on. What, Mark?
Oh, no, I think it's very interesting what you're saying.
No, he's there. Know. Just open your ears.
It's glitching a little bit, but I think it's very interesting because I mean they've got this very famous, you know, curry cuisine, which of course maybe stimulates over abluting problems, and of course they've laid the industry and the infrastructure in place then to reap the rewards which feed back into the economy. I think it's frightfully clever.
Yes, I agree.
I've got to be honest. I used to believe that, but I have to say that that Mark's just said is a complete mythology, which everybody. Before, do you realise that you
just made it up?
The only place you can get an Indian curry is in England.
Yeah, in London.
Yeah, you can't get them in India because they don't serve Indian curries over here. You could get all sorts of other curries, but you could get Chinese curry, you get any kind of curry. The basic food for Indians over here is dried soup.
Really? But I think that most of the curry houses in England are run by Bengalis, actually. And I've got a feeling that maybe if you went to Bengal, you'd find a sort of certain familiarity there.
There, exactly. I remember that from a series about going around India, which I think Paul Merton did once upon a time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he spent a couple of months out there, if my memory serves me correctly. Anyway, on to the serious news of this week. And
what? Let me change this. I just said they've got to change lists.
Okay. May not have ramifications throughout the Arabic world. And equally, a little conversation, gentlemen, about the way the British tabloids treated this story. Former dictator of Libya, Gaddafi, first off announced as being found, then announced as being shot in crossfire. Which I don't think any of us are bought into at all. And then some of the incredibly graphic images that news channels and the tabloid and broadsheet papers around the globe have been showing of Mr. Gaddafi when he was shot through the head.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I can't see anything wrong with it. But what I will do, I will take a back seat and allow you and Mr. Mark to make your points, then I will come back and shoot you down like dogs.
Well, I think it's a shame that he's not up in court.
Yes.
And I you know, I mean, I suppose a lot of people sort of think, well, you know, job done, well done. And obviously, he seems to be a pretty nasty piece of work. But I have to say that, you know, everybody's saying, well, that's the end of 40 years of tyranny. But actually, it's Western state-supported tyranny. I don't think we walk away from this with clean hands. And maybe there's a lot of people in the West who are pretty pleased that he's not there to tell his story.
I thought you were going to talk about the photographs, but if we're talking
Hang on. No, I tend to agree with you, Mark.
I agree as well, yeah.
But what that then brings to the forefront is, of course, being in the country that he's in, he has to be buried within 48 hours.
That's being delayed now.
Normally it's 48 hours. Yeah. But the point is, they've got to be supremely careful where he's buried, because if they're not careful, that could become a shrine.
Absolutely.
The other option that's been mooted is that he will be buried at sea.
Exactly.
And, you know, the danger is really, because he hasn't gone through due process, he could end up, you know, having one of these sort of fanatical annual pilgrimages to his grave. And I think that's even more concerning.
I think he would be better off in the Hague.
Yeah.
He's taken the secrets of his regime. He's taken part of the horrific history of that country. He's another despot who's taken that aspect of it to his grave with a NATO-aimed bullet through his head. And I think that's the thing. It was even if it wasn't NATO who pulled the trigger, it was NATO who aimed the bullet. And why shouldn't this man stand trial? Jim Swire, the father of the girl who was killed at Lockerbie, says the same thing. He's now bereft of the fact that, once again, the people who've suffered at the hands of people like Gaddafi have not had the chance to see justice being done.
Absolutely right. Anyway,
I think there's a very strong message going out there, which is a message which I don't like, and it seems to be, you know, you live by the will of the West and you die by the will of the West. The only maybe good thing about this is that maybe this sends a little message to Syria, what might happen, you know, whether it's good or bad, because it's Syria next, actually.
Okay, a little apology in the middle of this particular half. Please understand that Lee's a little bit choppy because he's actually attempting to do the programme from India, which is difficult, and young Mark has had a bit of a computer problem, so he's playing about on a little laptop this week.
It's collected wirelessly, and it's not the best.
No, so apologies for that. We'll go for content over quality this week, and hopefully that's...
Am I a bit choppy?
A little bit choppy, yes. it's typical anyway. Next story is quite an interesting one, and again, something that I'm not sure is absolutely true. There's some research that's been done that's found that 147 companies have got 40% of the world's wealth. And if they go down the toilet, all sorts of nasty things would happen. But that sort of flies in the face of so many countries now, whereby the sole trader makes up the vast majority of wealth, both in Central Europe and in the UK. So I'm just wondering how accurate this really is at the end of the day.
Well, I think it's got quite a sense of accuracy in the basis that, you've got sole traders who make up a lot of the wealth of the world, but also they have to, because of the way particularly the Western finances are set up, they have to focus and channel their wealth through this system. And what the University of Zurich are saying is that there are a small group of companies at the top of the tree, Goldman Sachs, Barclays, places like that, who actually now rule at least 40% of the wealth, and both Barclays and Goldman Sachs are within a regime which is collapsing. The whole of the Western regime of financial control and everything is teetering on the edge. And if they go down because of the stress that they are put under by the way things are in the West, then they are likely to take down the whole of the world's economy. Some people might not say that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that, but some people might say that. But it's a frightening thing that the banks who you can't trust now are really in control of a massive part of the world's economy. Mm. And all our lives are resting in that. That's why I think it's an interesting story.
I do tend to agree with you, but I think Mark will support me on this side of it, that if we weren't so into our overdrafts and our credit cards and the things that actually play into the hands of certain banking institutions, then they would not have the clout they've got today.
I'm just wondering whether it really is at a much higher level than that. I mean, you know, personal account business and so forth, I mean, of course, is very important on the high street and very important to individuals. But I think here we're talking about, you know, merchant banking. I don't think we're talking about high street banking.
I think we're
talking about another level, which we can't even conceive of. And we're talking about insurance, reinsurance, investments, money changing futures. It's quite an extraordinary. So I think it's at that kind of level. What I did want to say, that even if this is not correct, even if 40% is not correct, and maybe sole traders actually do, you know, hold of the clout in terms of actual money, the important thing about this is, even if they were only 25%, the fact is that they're a small, recognizable group. In other words, recognizable between each other. So they easily form their club. And they communicate with each other. So they're cohesive. Even if you had 80% of wealth being owned by sole traders, the fact is that these people, these sole traders, can't combine. They can't discover a common interest. And so they don't have power. If you've got 20% or 30% of global banking businesses, and there's probably quite a small number of them. And if, you know, by and large, they're all meeting each other, they're knowing each other, they're, if you like, sort of employment mobility is in fact between each other, this then makes a very powerful group. You don't even need 40% to dominate the world in that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's how tightly knit the networks is, as Mark's just said, it's how tightly knit the networks are between these companies. And if you look at what happened, 5 years ago, 2008, when the financial collapse happened, who was at the top of that financial collapse and who are still at the top of the financial institutions?
Absolutely.
That's what's scary to me.
Yeah. They could go and do it all again.
Absolutely. And of course, we all think that we have to support them, and they have to be kept in place.
Because they've got our money.
Funny that, isn't it? Mm. No, that could take me somewhere where I shouldn't be going. The interesting reporting of the supposed camping out, rioting around St. Paul's Cathedral and also Westminster. Fortunately, I had a chance to talk to a colleague yesterday who was in London, and I said to her, how many people are camping outside the Houses of Parliament these days? And when she called me back, she said, I've counted them for you, Eric. 6.
I agree, but I don't think you can accuse reporting of blowing this out of proportion, because if you actually I checked on the news agendas, because I was quite interested in this. I checked on the news agendas just before we came on the air, and really you can't pick anything up about this. You can pick up past stories from, you know, a past couple of days where in fact there were, it looked as if St. Paul's Cathedral might have suffered because of this. And whatever he's called, the big boss of the cathedral, said that it looks
God,
like they will
God
have to
actually
close.
Is the big boss of the cathedral.
Yeah, well, it was God who said. Yeah, he said that they might have to close the cathedral. But now it doesn't look, and I think you're absolutely right, that it isn't as stressful as it might have first appeared to be.
But that, I think it's much more significant than the United States, it seems to me, from the reports. It also seems to me that in England, in United Kingdom, they're, if you like, sort of trying to connect up and trying to produce a similar kind of movement. I don't know whether our policing is better or whatever, because I'm sure there are services around trying to disrupt it and to make sure that it doesn't happen. But I don't think it's really gelling in the same way.
No, I don't think so.
It's just a riot that never took off.
Well, yeah, and I think the problem is when you look at it on certain television channels from other parts of the world, it's not dissimilar to the troubles in Northern Ireland years ago, where if you looked on television, as I have had the opportunity to do and still do, you look at South African television, for example, at that time, they were depicting Northern Ireland as an absolute bloodbath. And at the time, one of the reasons they were doing it is because it took away the sting from things that were going on locally. Yeah. So I think
I have to say,
we have
I to do have to say, Well, I do have to say, Eric, I did spend a good year of my life reporting in Northern Ireland, and it was a bloodbath.
Not to the degree... I don't disagree with that, but I'm saying it wasn't to the degree that some people tried to depict it. And I think this is the same thing with this global movement, where some people would prefer to be able to report on, you know, St Paul's Cathedral being in trouble, you know, church services not taking place, etc., etc., because they would make good headlines. They're not there, and that's the point I'm making, Lee.
Yeah. I think the point you're making is right, but also the fact that the news agendas have dropped it as a story when it didn't take off also shows a bit of integrity.
Yeah. I'd just like to come in here, by the way, and just you know, remark in a way the coincidence, because just a moment ago we were talking about, you know, this very tight, small sort of global group that's so capable of influencing the whole of, you know, certainly West, probably world economics. And here, really, what we're seeing here in St. Paul's Cathedral, in Wall Street, you know, these attempts, what have you, is really about the most that people can muster in terms of a response to that. Well, they don't stand a chance, do they?
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I quite agree. Anyway, moving along quickly towards the end of the part one of the programme. Yeah. Still problems in Athens. And again, there's two sides to this. I can understand why individuals who can hold their hand up and say, I haven't got credit, haven't got this on lease, haven't got that from a bank loan, da-di-da-di-da, could probably actually... display their horror at what's going on. But I still want somebody to answer the question, how many of the people in strikes, in rioting and so on and so forth can hold their hand up and say, no, I ain't got any credit, mate, not my problem?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is a good point as well, but you have to accept that I don't think the riots in Athens, and even up to a point the riots in Britain, are just superfluous things. Are just happening because people think that'd be good fun, let's do it. I think people are genuinely, absolutely appalled and petrified for the homes, for the livelihoods of what the banking system in this world is, or particularly in the Western world, is doing to, or potentially doing,
right,
to our lives.
Hold on, let me give you another example then.
Go on, Ed.
Adjacent to that, there was a big report in a number of the newspapers from the UK I was reading online about the volume of journalists and people sent by the BBC over to a report on a traveller's site, which has got bailiffs going in to remove them because they're illegally living on the site.
And the Dale site.
And in actual fact, there was more journalists there than there were normal people. And in actual fact, there was more people outside who had nothing to do with Dale Farm. They were just activists and causing problems, than the people that were actually inside where it does impact on their lives.
And carry on.
And this again is the question I'm asking about Athens. Sure, you know, if they've got to that point, somebody wasn't telling somebody everything. That's for sure. But equally, how many of these people are genuinely going to lose out? Or is it just a case that they've all screwed up a little bit and they've all got to take responsibility?
I think there is that to it. And I think we've now gone back, in a lot of ways, to the 80s, when we used to have all these organisations of urban terrorists and things like that, who would go to anything at all where you could have a protest. And that's reared its ugly head again, in particularly in the UK. And it's starting to spread across the world.
That's the end of part one of Postcard from Pop Rap. We'll be back fast, and you can make that milkshake, cup of tea or coffee, or even go to the loop.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.